Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
President Biden sparked a wave of bipartisan backlash this week, announcing the sweeping pardon of his son Hunter. But according to new Politico reporting, it may not be the only pardon that Biden grants. Jonathan Martin reports this. President Joe Biden's senior aides are conducting a vigorous internal debate over whether to issue preemptive pardons to a range of current and former public officials who could be targeted with President-elect Donald Trump's return to the White House.
Well, CNN is talking about Donald Trump potentially pardoning his enemies. And it's kind of interesting to me that Donald Trump was just resoundingly elected in what I don't think anybody could have seen coming, an enormous political comeback. So the people who are in opposition to Donald Trump, there's a reason why America said we choose Trump to stop the type of people who are currently in office from doing the things that they're doing. Why would Joe Biden think that those, you know, air quotes, enemies, that what they're doing would be worthy of a pardon? Seems kind of strange to me, doesn't it? Hogan Gidley joins us once again, America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. Hogan, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Great to be with you. I appreciate the time, Annie.
You as well, as always. The Hunter Biden pardon that came down this weekend, it wasn't just like, he's my son and I love him and he did these two wrong things. It was much, much broader than that. Why do you think that is?
It was broader because in large part, this is not a pardon for Hunter Biden. It's a pardon for Joe Biden. He's concerned about anything and everything that comes out regarding a Hunter Biden trial that would implicate the Biden crime family. So he doesn't want any part of that being exposed. Look, I understand. A lot of people are saying, look, you know, if you were going to pardon your son, pardon your son. That's part of the deal. The problem is Joe Biden lied about this repeatedly on camera to different reporters saying he would never do this. He got his lackeys in the press to agree. They parroted everything he said. They covered for him. They carried his water per usual. And then he even made the press secretary go out there and say the same thing. Now, she has no credibility if she had any before. He definitely doesn't have any credibility as if he didn't have any before. And the whole thing is imploding on itself. And now there's a question over pardons. And I do love the fact that when Donald Trump was issuing pardons to people that actually served jail time, who actually paid debts to society, the left lost its collective mind. But when Joe Biden goes out there and pardons his own son, you know, who hasn't served a day in jail for the crimes he clearly committed and admitted to, it's farcical. Now, I will say what's fascinating is that Joe Biden came into office lying about the Hunter Biden laptop being fake. He's leaving office by pardoning Hunter Biden for all the things that were on the laptop. It's insane.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the laptop because it has been a detail, a footnote, unfortunately, in the entire administration of Joe Biden. But what we know from that laptop, what the laptop has corroborated, what when we see people like Tony Bobulinski coming out and talking about Biden Inc. and what the brand was that was being sold on behalf of the American people through Joe Biden. There's a lot more there than a gun charge in Delaware and some tax evasion that he had somebody else pay off. Do you think it's likely that we'll see Joe Biden pardon other people who might be attached to Hunter, maybe even so much as including himself?
Proactively, he could do that. There's some reports out there about all types of people, whether it be Dr. Fauci or others. And you have to ask yourself, is that an admission of guilt or is it something he's trying to protect himself against? Regardless, James Comer and the folks over at the House did an outstanding job exposing the shell companies, for example, the millions of dollars the family received, the emails, the text messages, the dinner dates, the lunch drop-bys, the phone calls in the middle of the night. Showing the relationship between Hunter and Joe was more than just a father-son, but it was also a business relationship. And I think Joe Biden, rightfully so, is worried about that. His legacy is clearly tarnished, not just because they ran him out of office, ran him off the ticket, rather, for his horrible debate performance, but also the fact that they've been lying about his health for so long. In addition to that, the corruption that has followed this Biden family for a long time, I don't think we'll know the full scale of it for years to come, but it's so obvious to so many, and I think the House has done a good job exposing it. So these pardons could definitely be a preemptive move to prevent any future attacks, I guess, by the right or by lawyers who see all the wrongs that Joe Biden and his family have done.
We're speaking with Hogan Gidley. He is America First Policy Institute's Senior Advisor for Communications. I think that the America First Policy Institute is an important part of this whole conversation because we're watching what, during the transition, what the Biden administration, those actions that they're taking right now, handing out money in Africa while the president of the United States falls asleep, pardoning people in his own family, broadly so. But in the midst of all of that, we've actually, in my opinion, heard way less from the Trump transition team than we're used to hearing, of course, of him on the campaign trail. And to me, it's really looked like there's a definite plan in place for this period of time so that on day one, Donald Trump is able to start doing what the American people sent him to do. How would you assess post-election in this transition time what the Trump administration has been able to do so far?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because what they are focused on is the American people. They obviously have a mandate. They won the popular vote. They won all the swing states. They're focused on successes. Donald Trump did this the first time around. He's going to do this the second time around as well. And the fact that they're putting out these cabinet secretaries immediately tells you what they are focused on is getting the people in place right now so that when he is sworn in, he can begin moving. Remember, the 100-day window starts pretty quick. He won't be a lame duck because no title like lame duck is ever going to apply to Donald Trump. He's always going to keep moving. But he wants the House, the Senate, and his cabinet secretaries to move forward on that America First agenda quickly, especially because you'll have the midterms coming up and you want to flex a little muscle and show Republican governance, Republican legislative activity is far superior to that of the Democrats because it actually improves the lives of all Americans.
Yeah, that leading up to this point, it's promises made, and then this next 2 years is the opportunity to show the American people promises kept. AFPI has been a very, very great partner in setting up this opportunity for Trump to come in, to be able to make this transition and do it in a very orderly fashion. Do you believe that on day one, Donald Trump is it going to come fast and furious for all of us sitting here watching to see what he's going to do?
Yes, I was on set with some reporters the other day. We were arguing about something on a panel, and they made a comment there was breaking news that Donald Trump had just announced a new secretary of something or other. And I pointed out, you better get used to saying breaking news as it relates to Donald Trump, because he moves at breakneck speed, not to mention the fact you guys have been sitting on your hands for 4 years, not doing any type of reporting or any type of movements because Joe Biden was so slow. I said, you've had your rest for 4 years. Get ready, because the next war is going to be fast.
Yeah. Every time I see Hogan Gidley on one of those other networks, I always pause because I'm like, this is going to be a treat. So we always appreciate when you come on with us as well. Hogan,
anytime.
Thank you so much. It's always great to speak with you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hogan Gidley, America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. He's also the former National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign in 2020. He served as the former Principal Deputy Press Secretary for the Trump administration. He's a straight shooter, and he's been coming on our show since Donald Trump was the president the first time. So it's always great to be able to squeeze him back in. We were supposed to have him on yesterday, but the timing didn't work out. What do you want to see first? I mean, first of all, what are we going to do for the inauguration? Isn't that going to happen in our show?
Yes, but it's on MLK Day. So
we'll be here.
We're gonna have to fight, Steve and Trisha.
I'm gonna be here.
You
don't even have to open up the microphone. I'm gonna sit here and talk to this room.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, how could we have the day off as a company, but how could we miss that day? So I imagine we're gonna be following that because it's gonna be, man, do you remember watching the inauguration in 2016?
Yes.
I do too.
In 2020.
I did not watch, I mean, I didn't work here in 2016. I was in an office place with people who, some of them I knew their politics, others I didn't. So you're sitting there watching in this historic event, and you, I thought at the time, naively, that Trump was going to start saying things that were like normal presidential things during that inauguration. He did not.
No, he did Trump.
He said, here's what we're going to do. And he said the same exact thing as when he was campaigning.
When Donald, that was a key moment, like a very pivotal moment. I can think of two moments in his presidency early on that were very definitive. That was one of them. When he didn't come on and give the bologna sausage Joe Biden unity speech.
Yes.
Which was horse hockey.
Yeah, it was.
He didn't give that speech. Donald Trump won the election. And everybody was waiting for him to start being, what was the word? Presidential.
Presidential.
And Donald Trump, I am presidential Donald Trump. Welcome to this new version of doing it. The second time he did it was the State of the Union. Dude, I have goosebumps thinking about the first State of the Union.
I don't remember that.
Oh, my gosh. I do. I don't even think it was technically called a State of the Union because it's a joint congressional something. Because
it's an address.
You can't be elected and then 2 weeks be like, here's the State of the Union.
Right.
You're like, I've been telling you about the State of the Union for 2 years, and that's why I just got here.
Right.
But he handled that presidentially. He his first actual State of the Union, when he went in there, it was wonderful. It was so great to watch and see and know that he was in charge. The inauguration, the swearing-in ceremony is at 11 a.m. our time. Noon Eastern. Get them in here right now. I need to know. I need to know because at 11, like, I don't, is he going to give a, if I were him, I'd be like, I'm going to give a speech, but I'm going to do it later because I got stuff to do. Thank you for sending me here. I am here for you and I'm going to go work for you right now. The executive orders that are going to be lined up for him to sign are going to be many of the same ones that Joe Biden signed on day one, but like, the reverse.
Yeah.
They'd be doing the cha-cha slide the whole time. They're putting America on the right track.
I mean, yeah, that's not going to be good radio.
To the right now, y'all. Charlie Brown. Charlie Kirk.
The difference is,
can
though,
we change the cha-cha slide to be something conservative?
No, we can't. I'm sorry.
It's in a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the difference between 2016...
Just so you know.
Is that in 2016, we didn't know. This year, we know what we're getting into. We still voted for the guy, overwhelmingly. But the thing is, this year, if you notice, we haven't really heard from Donald Trump that much since he got elected.
I just said that to Hogan Gidley. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was walking over here and I didn't have my headphones on.
No, I made that.
I walked out.
I asked that question
in.
Of Hogan Gidley because the America First Policy Institute Heritage Foundation, as well, Project 2025. It's okay, libs. It'll be fine. Everybody, quiet down. It'll be okay. Snuggle
Charlie
your
Brown.
Blanket.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say Charlie Kirk. They won't like that.
When you look at how quiet they're being, and I was talking to Hogan Gidley about that, America First Policy Institute has been telling us this for 4 years. If and when Donald Trump gets back into office, we've got everything ready day one. We've got the people ready. We've got the policies ready. We've got the executive orders written up already. It's all done. Now, does Donald Trump come in and have a say in that? He has all of the say in that. But if you continue to listen to the people who come on the show and talk about how Donald Trump operates, especially when it comes to foreign policy issues, like we spoke with Jim Carafano on Tuesday, and we're talking about what's going on in the Middle East, Donald Trump surrounds himself with people who don't agree on things, and he listens to them. And then he makes the decision, which is what a wise man does. Put the smartest people in the room on any particular issue, surround me with them, and I will use, in my wisdom, the opportunity to provide the greatest conglomerate of a decision with all information source and all perspectives considered. That's type of stuff has been done. And he's got to just get everything in place now, which is stuff that they did after they got inaugurated last time. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing.
That's typically what a leader, a president, a good prime minister would do, is they come in and they have lots of advisors. That's why you have so many people around you. They advise on very, very important things. And then the leader got elected because he has a vision, and he goes, well, how do we achieve that via your advice?
Yeah.
It is also the exact opposite of what Joe Biden has been, and actually what most Democrats have been, because if you notice, Democrats, it's a machine running everything. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a primary since 2008, if you think about it, because they just rigged every single one of them to get the candidate that they wanted. So with Joe Biden in particular, you have a candidate or a president who was just doing what the machine set up for him to do. Not just because of Alzheimer's, but because that's what, that's what the Democrat machine does.
It's okay, Dr. Wiggins. That's what I've done here. I've surrounded myself with the smartest people in the room, and I listen to what you guys have to say and go from there. What was your lane?
Just to clarify.
Medical expertise.
I'm not a medical doctor.
Which is the second day in a row this show has had to say that. But yesterday it was like, if your mind is telling you you're fat and it's Zumba and you can't breathe. I said keep going, but not as medical advice.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad it was you yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I am no doctor. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, we are going to find out, here's your lane, ways to cheap out on Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. That's Wiggins America today. If you're looking to cheap out on Christmas, I got you covered.
Oh, or at least half covered. Half off or half on?
That depends on optimist or pessimist.
How you look at it. Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.